ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो नाउ वी हैव द त्रिगर्तास हैड अटैक्ड ऑन वन साइड ऑफ द किंगडम एंड दे हैव बीन डिफीटेड बट बाय द रूल्स देन दे आर स्टेइंग ऑन The victorious warriors are staying there for the night. Then at the next morning, then we're having the attack of the Kauravas. They've come and stolen the cows. So the only one in the palace then is the youngest son. The other three sons went with their father. And so he's talking about vaunting how great he is and how fabulous and comparing himself to Arjuna and all that kind of stuff. So Arjuna hears about it, you know, because it circulates that the ladies are there because he's trying to impress the ladies, that'll get around the ladies, that'll go into the inner court, that'll go to Brihannala. And so then he tells Draupadi, please, you tell him that Brihannala used to drive the chariot for Arjuna. And so then Draupadi went, and then she made this point. The beautiful youth resembling an elephant and known by the name Brihannala was once Arjuna's charioteer. He was the disciple of Partha and is himself a mighty bowman. I saw him when I lived with the Pandavas. It was Brihannala who drove Arjuna's chariot when he vanquished the gods at Kandava. Indeed, there is no charioteer like him. Bhumijaya looked at her in surprise. How can I ask a eunuch to govern my horses? He said. Have your sister ask him, O hero. He will certainly do her bidding. Do not hesitate to engage him. With Brihannala as your charioteer, you will undoubtedly vanquish the Kurus and rescue the cows. Right? So he says, your sister, because Arjuna is teaching Bhumijaya's sister, right? She's the princess, and so he's there teaching her music, dance, and all these different aspects. Still doubtful, the prince turned to his sister Uttara and said, go at once and fetch Brihannala. Virat's daughter nodded and left the court. That lotus-eyed maiden was as beautiful as Lakshmi herself, with a slender waist and well-rounded breasts adorned with pearls. She ran to the dancing hall, her golden ornaments tinkling as she hurried along. Remember the dancing hall. This is where Bhima then killed Kichika, like that. You know, so it's in the compound, but it's a little bit away, so you don't make too much noise, right? Finding Arjuna, she bowed humbly before him. O Brihannala, our cows are being carried away by the Kurus. My brother, full of heroism, is about to confront them with bow in hand. He requires a charioteer. Shairindri told him that you formerly drove Arjuna's chariot. She said that there was none equal to you in the skills of governing horses and driving chariots. Therefore, O Brihannala, become the prince's charioteer. Go quickly, there is no time to lose. Arjuna smiled. I am going. He immediately left the palace, followed by Uttara, just as an elephant in rut is followed by a she-elephant. Right? So he's going really strong and she's going like that. As he entered the court, the prince called, Ah, Brihannala, you are here. I have heard that you are skilled in driving chariots. As you drove Arjuna's chariot into battle against his foes, so today you should drive mine against the Kurus. Arjuna approached the king and glanced downwards, playing with the long braid of hair that hung down his side. What power do I have to act as charioteer? Had you wanted song and dance, then I would have been the right choice. How can I drive horses into battle? The prince looked at Brihannala. Although a eunuch, he was huge-bodied and appeared to possess great power. His arms, covered with bangles and bracelets, seemed like decorated serpents, and his shoulders, wrapped with white silk, were as broad as a palace door. Right? Because the proportions, the shoulders, if you take the waist as, let's say, one measurement, whatever you start the waist is this way measurement, then the shoulders will be three times that. You know, so it's like big shoulders coming down to the waist, and then the hips will be double. So you have 2, 1, 3. That's for the men, so they have very broad. And the women also had broad shoulders, but it'd be 2.5. So that's your natural proportion. You know, that's how they make like the deities and things like that. So very, very broad shoulders. Having faith in Shairindri's words, Booming Jaya said, O Brihanala, whatever you may be, drive my chariot today. We shall challenge the wicked Kurus on the battlefield. Right? Because Shairindri said, Draupadi said, then he's saying, no, I trust her words that you've done this, because he's just being shy, right? The prince had a suit of armor brought for Arjuna. As if to make fun, Arjuna struggled to put it on in various wrong ways. He appeared bewildered and dropped the armor with a loud clatter. The palace ladies laughed, and Booming Jaya came over and helped them don the shining mail. He then led Arjuna out to his chariot, which flew a flag bearing the sign of a lion. The prince climbed aboard his chariot, his armor shining brilliantly in the morning sun. Arjuna took his place at the front of the chariot and held the reins. The palace maidens called out to him, O Brihanala, after the prince defeats the Kurus, take from them their fine silks and clothes as a token of your victory. We desire to have those cloths for our dolls. Right? So here then, the palace girls, then they're all, you know, asking, okay, so when you go out, you defeat all these great warriors, because they all wear very nice silk and everything. And so then saying, bring some of those for us, you know, as a sign of victory, and we'll put them on our dolls like this. So you can see that Kshatriya spirit of, the challenge and the defeat, and then that aspect of then they have to have that mood of surrender or subservience and all that. So even the Kshatriya girls and that, and the palace girls have this kind of mood. When the prince has overpowered the Kurus, I shall certainly bring back many beautiful clothes for you, Arjuna replied, throwing back his hair, right? Because he has the hair braided and all that, but it comes down a bit the side. It seems that the servants would wear like that, while the other would wear straight down the middle. But, you know, he's throwing it back, you know, like the girls when they're doing something, they throw their hair, you know, so he's having some fun. As Booming Jaya was about to set off for battle, the Brahmins blessed him. May that great victory which Arjuna attained at Kandava be yours today when you meet the Kurus. And they walked around the chariot with their hands held, palms up outwards. Right, so giving blessings and all. Arjuna urged on the horses, and the chariot moved off with a deep rumbling sound. Guided by Arjuna, the horses, decorated with golden necklaces and silver armor, seemed to fly through the air. Within a short time, the chariot came within sight of the Kurus, and Arjuna brought it to a halt. Right? They were not far from the cremation ground where his weapons were kept, right? So you come there, one is he's stopping there because his weapons are there. But the other thing he's stopping, because first you want to see what you're doing. You don't want to just ride into battle and not know what you're doing. You want to see where they are, who they are, is everybody here, or there's different things, or, you know, what's the arrangement, what's the trick, what's going on. The prince and Arjuna gazed at the Kuru army in the distance. It seemed like a vast ocean, right? Because if they're going to go out, they're going to go out too. They're going with the idea to conquer the kingdom because Kichika was protecting. And so then that's sense, because Drona made the point is, no, I think it was Kripa. You either give them back their kingdom or prepare for war. And since if you want to prepare for war, you know, then the first, someone brought up the point, well, then let's conquer the Trigartas brought up. Why don't we make this the first kingdom that bring under our control, so then they will bring their armies and everything will assist us in the battle, because they have to then therefore make their sides in the war. And so this is going to be the first. So the Kurus are going to come out with a serious, army, because that will also then induce other kings that, may or may not be favorable to be supportive. It seemed like a vast ocean or a forest of high trees moving through the sky. The dust raised by the army rose up in a great cloud that screened the sun. Booming Jaya's mouth fell open. He had never seen such a huge army. His hair stood on end, and he dropped his bow. How can I fight such an enemy? He exclaimed, trembling. Even the celestials could not face them. The Kuru army has in their midst heroes like Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, and the heroic King Duryodhana. Simply seeing them from a distance, I have become terrified. Because he's been trained, so he's probably quite good, you know, as the prince. Then, but it'll be with the teacher and a few people, and maybe they've seen, you know, because they'll have seen the battles and that with Kichika, and others have come. But they're small kingdoms, like the Trigartas. It'll be a smaller army. It'll be big, but it's not like the Kuru's army. They're the emperors of the world, so they'll have the biggest army. So he's used to much smaller engagements, you know, much smaller, not having such great, powerful heroes on the battlefield. And so then he would think it's more equal. But with this, the size of it, and then what personalities are there, he just knows, I can't stand up to them. Right? Wailing loudly, the prince ordered Arjuna to return to the city. It is not wise to confront this army. My father has gone out with the army, and I am alone. I have not practiced the skills of warfare. I am only a boy. I cannot overcome those who are expert in arms. O Brihannala, head back to the capital. Right, so slightly different mood than he had before when he was just impressing the palace girls, right? Arjuna turned to face the terrified prince. Why do you increase your enemy's delight? O prince, you have become pale with fear before you have even begun to fight. Right? It's not like you're fighting and then seeing you're overpowered. He hasn't even started. He's just seen them. Before both men and women, you loudly vaunted your powers. You said, I shall defeat the Kurus and bring back the cows. Those were brave words, O mighty armed hero. How can you now return unsuccessful? Right? Means he's lauding that he had brave words, and he's making the point, you said that. Now as a Kshatriya, you should go do it, or at least attempt. You know, even if you die in the battle or something like that, but at least you made the attempt. No one can complain that, you know, because what we'll say, he goes out alone against the whole Kuru army, and then, you know, like he said, Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, and Duryodhana. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Maharatis, like that. And if he gets defeated, no one will blame. They won't say, oh, he's a wimp. They'll say, he stood up against them, even if he was defeated, you know. Does that make sense? So he would go down glorious. Everyone will deride you. As for myself, eulogized by Surindri and commanded by you, I have come here to defeat the Kurus. I will not return without achieving that goal. Goal, stop wailing and let us proceed into battle. So he's saying, so as for myself, then as he eulogized himself, but he said Surindri eulogized, said how great a personality he is. No one's a greater charioteer. And you've commanded as the king, so I have to take this, I have to be successful. Booming Jai stood shaking in the chariot. Let the Kurus take our wealth as they please. Let men and women laugh at me. Let the cows go anywhere. Let the city be desolate. Let me fear my father. I cannot enter the battle. Right? So he sees all the options that will come up from it, not fighting. And his point is his fear now is so great, he can't deal with it. Though at the time, if he didn't, that would bother him afterwards. But in the moment, you know, the emotions he's saying. The prince jumped down from his chariot and began to run back towards the city because he said, take us back. And he said, you know, he's telling him to stand and fight. Arjuna called out to him, a brave Kshatriya never flees the battlefield. Better to die in battle than to run in fear. Bhumijaya did not listen. With his long sword swinging from his side to side as he ran, he did not even look back. Arjuna sprang from the chariot and ran after him. Having seen the chariots approach, the Kurus had moved towards them. They saw the prince running in fear and an unusual figure pursuing him, his long braid and the white silk streaming in the breeze, right? Because this is a eunuch, you know, so they can tell us it's basically dressed like some kind of, some kind of woman, but at the same time is a very big figure. So it doesn't quite match. They can't quite figure out what's going on. The Kuru soldiers laughed and said to one another, who is this person who appears to be a eunuch? He is like fire concealed by ashes. Although assuming the form of a neuter, he has the body of an elephant. Indeed, he resembles Arjuna with the same head, the same neck, and the same mace-like arms. His movements also resemble those of the Pandavas, right? Because they'll have their attitude and how they walk and they move and everything, so you can tell. Just like from a distance, you can tell who someone is by how they move, and even though you can't actually see the features. The Kurus gazed at Brihannala as he raced after the prince. Clearly, he was no eunuch, right? Because otherwise, the eunuch would have been running and the prince would have been chasing. Surely, it was Arjuna in disguise. Who else would have dared to face the Kuru army alone, right? So the prince has come out. He said he's ready to go. But Arjuna, he's ready to face the whole army alone. You know, he's not worried about anybody else. Obviously, the Matsya prince had ventured to fight simply out of childishness. It seemed that Arjuna was trying to stop him from fleeing. The Kuru warriors watched the scene, not quite certain if they were seeing Arjuna or not. So they're out there and they kind of move there and then stop, you know, to watch. Okay, what's going on here, right? Catching Booming Jaya, Arjuna seized him. The prince cried out, "Let me go. O Brihanala, turn back the chariot. Only one who lives can secure prosperity and happiness." Now he's looking at that side. Only if you're alive can you secure prosperity and happiness, like that. And so that's his point there. But at the same time as Arjuna's point, it's a kshatriya. You die in battle, you go to the heavenly planets, you don't have to do anything else. You know, so you don't get secure prosperity and happiness here, you gain it there. "When we get back, I will give you 100 coins of pure gold, 8 brilliant Vaidurya gems, an excellent car driven by the best horses, and 10 infuriated elephants if you release me." Right, trying to, you know, say, if you're alive, I'm alive, hey, then, you know, it'll work out. Arjuna said nothing. He dragged the prince back to the chariot. He then said, "If you do not like to fight, let us swap places. You govern the horses, I will fight the enemy. Protected by my arms, you may fearlessly enter into the midst of the dreadful Kuru host. Why are you distraught, O hero? You are the foremost of Kshatriyas and a great prince. Together we will overpower the Kurus and release the cows. Take the reins and we will proceed into battle." Bhumijaya was still terrified, but he became encouraged by Arjuna's confidence. He sat on the chariot and took the reins. Arjuna directed him to guide the chariot towards the Sami tree by the crematorium. He wanted to retrieve his Gandiva bow before facing the Kurus, right? Because with that bow, it can handle any weapon, because he has all the celestial weapons. And so ordinary bows can't handle that. And so only the Gandiva can handle everybody's. You know, everybody else has bows, they have a few celestial weapons. He has all of them. As the chariot moved off with Arjuna now in the back, the Kurus spoke together. All of them suspected that the so-called eunuch was actually Arjuna. Within the hearing of Duryodhana, Bhishma, and Karna, Drona said, "I perceive numerous ill omens. Violent winds whip up around us, throwing dust and gravel over our troops. The sky is shrouded with darkness and huge black clouds are forming overhead. Our celestial weapons seem to jump from their cases and our horses shed tears. Jackals yell hideously nearby. All these signs indicate a calamity," right? So they're coming there, everything's good. You know, they come out with Brihanala driving and Booming Jaya, then you know, as the warrior, everything's, all the signs are fine. But when they say switch places and Arjuna's decided he's going to fight them himself personally, because the other, he would drive the chariot, give him some advice, you know, try to bring him into the best possible positions to fight with the enemy. You know, all that he would have done. And so probably the signs may not have been there. But when Arjuna makes the decision he's going to fight, then here, now they see all the inauspicious signs, because Arjuna himself alone can defeat that whole army. "Expect a great slaughter and guard the cows well. This great bowman, in the guise of a eunuch, is undoubtedly Partha. Oh, heroic men, surely this man dressed as a woman is Kiriti, whose chariot bears the emblem of Hanuman, the destroyer of Lanka's gardens. Indignant after his long stay in the forest, he will today wreak havoc in battle. I do not see anyone here who can stop him from defeating us and taking back the cows." And this is Drona speaking. And he is the best there. And he's anybody else who's there except for Bhishma, you know, like that, basically he's trained. Or he's trained those who've trained them. And so when he makes this point, because they're here, they've just come to catch the cows and just to take over. So they don't have necessarily a strong mood. But Arjuna, 13 years, right? You know, so that's going to create trouble for them. So he sees that mood, we don't stand a chance. As Drona spoke, Karna became angry, right? Karna always becomes. "Why do you always make light of us and praise Arjuna?" It's kind of like one Arjuna against the Gandharvas, defeated them. All of them, except for, you know, Drona and Bhishma, against the Gandharvas together with their men were defeated. But He always forgets that. He is not even a 16th part of either myself or Duryodhana. Like that. Probably he's 108th and they're only one part of that. But whatever it is, he always speaks like this. So how they work out their discussion and all that, we'll see in the next discussion. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Ho.